Hey, it's Brian. Are you a new graduate or working professional interested in a university-level sports management education without the cost or commitment of a traditional master's program? Maybe you should be. The University of California, Irvine now offers an online, open enrollment, four-course sports management certificate that prepares you for a career in the business of sports. Learn more about this exciting opportunity and download a sports management career planning toolkit at ce.uci.edu/sport management. One more time, ce.uci.edu/sport management. Now, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, Vice President of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Before we get into today's topic, I'm still a little stunned about something that happened this weekend. Longtime NFL reporter Don Banks died in his sleep at just 56 years old, and the world is a worse place because of it. I didn't know Don well, but I did know him a little. During my tenure at CNN Sports Illustrated, we would often reach out to the various Sports Illustrated reporters for more details on their reporting, or to get a quote from them, or to have them jump on a live shot to answer a QA session, or just, you know, tell us part of their story. Don was one of those reporters. He was at CNN Sports Illustrated. He was at Sports Illustrated for 16 years and was a constant person that we would go to be part of our shows. Most of those conversations, setting up these live shots or asking questions about the reporting, were civil, you know, well-mannered and to the point. For a young producer, which I was definitely, I'm just being honest, a little intimidated and a little nervous making requests of Peter King or Tom Verducci or Lee Monfils, some of these pillars of the industry. They were all incredibly gracious with their time, but as busy people, you know, they just wanted to get it done. It could be a little short and to the point. Don was a little different. He wasn't exactly loquacious, not overly talkative, but he just had a different warmth to him. I remember having some technical issues once and was apologizing to him madly, like, I'm so sorry, we're going to get this worked out. You know, this happens sometimes. And he just kept saying, it's okay, not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Just do what you need to do. And he instantly put you at ease. And that doesn't always happen in this industry. He would ask you questions about your favorite team, you know, make a little comment from his reporting like, oh, they could be in for a really good year. You know, I talked to this person and it was really interesting conversation and here's what he's looking to do. And he'd make you feel like you were more important than your rank. He didn't judge you on your value to the corporate entity. He just valued that you were the person on the phone with them. Then why not make it pleasant? You never felt like a means to an end with Don, just another cog in the machine. He always made you feel like you were reuniting with an old friend after you hadn't spoken in a while. It just was always very comfortable. Don will be missed, and I was really stunned to hear that about his passing while covering the NFL Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame inductees. So, I mean, best wishes to his family. It's just a hard thing to hear. Let's get into today's question from Ashley in California. Hey, Brian, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but after graduating in May, I've kind of slacked off the last couple months. The summer has been great. I've enjoyed the beach, done some hiking in national parks, and just enjoyed life a little. August is my month to get back on track. Can you help me build a game plan for August? Well, Ashley, yes, I can. First things first, experiences are great and super important. And now that I'm in my 40s, I'll give you a little perspective. I kind of wish I had done more in my 20s. So do not apologize and do not regret enjoying your life and getting out there and seeing things and living some experiences. The experiences will last you forever. I mean, not to get off track, but we have three pretty young kids and we've made it our family mission to give them experiences they won't forget. We go to national parks. We stay in log cabins in the woods. We go on road trips. We visit osprey nesting spots in Maine. That's what we love to do as a family. And I love to see my kids remember these things year after year after year that we do. So those experiences are worth having, not just in your career, but in your life. Find out what you love and do it. It's really important stuff to get balance. Don't make it all about the rise and grind because you'll look back someday and wish. Trust me, I get annoyed when I hear rise and grind. I know it's something that people say all the time to show how dedicated they are and show how pushed they are to make their career go. And I get it. but not every day should be a grind. Okay. You need to have some days that you just enjoy the scenery a little bit. And I'm giving you permission to do that. Okay. But since you are through your summer of fun, let's get into your game plan of moving forward. If you're listening to this at a later date and it isn't August, that's okay. This is just a cram course in getting activated in your job search. That's what we're looking at. Like, I need to get into my job search. What should I be doing right now? First thing, refresh your LinkedIn profile, pictures, and status. And while you're at it, update your resume. Okay. Think about this. You've just recently graduated. You've done whatever you've done, wherever you are in your life. Sometimes the best way to get things started is to go back and look at your profile, your public persona, and say, okay, what can I update here? Can I put in a new picture? Can I do something to freshen it up? Can I change my objective? Can I just add a little more oomph to it? Are there new things I have? Because when I apply for jobs, people are going to go here first. They're going to go to my LinkedIn profile. Sure, they're going to look at my resume. They're also going to look there. So let's update that. Let's give it a little spunk. And if I add a new picture, if I change my profile, a lot of times your entire network of connections will be notified that something has changed and they might go check you out. So it's just a good way to not only get your information updated and where you are in your life, but also it might touch some people that are on LinkedIn and see that you've updated things. It's also a really good time. Idea number two is you start looking for more connections through LinkedIn. Now, we talk about this a lot. I am a big fan of social media networking. I'm a big fan of building through sites like LinkedIn, because not every network connection you're going to make is going to be face to face. Most of them won't be, right? So you need to take advantage and be strategic about how to start building connections through LinkedIn. And as I tell it, and I won't go into as much depth here, but there are places in my repertoire of information that's out there where you can get really in depth in this, is that when you target and reach out to people on LinkedIn, and I mean target, like, find those people that you think are aligned with where you want to go, right? If you want to work in sports marketing, it makes sense for you to connect with people who are connected to sports marketing. Don't just connect with everybody out there. Try to be really targeted in who you connect with. Include why you want to connect with them in your note and try to make that kind of a connection. My first advice is to have that thread that connects you. So if you're going to reach out to people in sports marketing, maybe you start with people that graduated from your same university. Hey, I graduated from the school like you did. I want to work in sports marketing like you do. Love to connect and stay in touch. But also, if you want to get a little bit more out there, you know, again, an idea is to use the Work in Sports podcast. You might say to Jennifer Keene, who is in marketing for Octagon, hey, I heard you on the Work in Sports podcast. It's my dream to work in sports marketing. Would love to connect here and keep up with all you're up to, or something along those lines. Have a thread and a reason to connect with somebody. And this is a good time to do that, to get strategic about your outreaches. Clean up all your social, number three, clean up all your social media accounts. Again, if you're going to get into the job search, you have to realize that people, recruiting managers, hiring managers, whoever it may be, are going to be scanning your Twitter, your LinkedIn, your Facebook, all of your public, your Instagram, your Snapchat, wherever they can. Wherever they can get information on you, they're going to look, because that's how they're going to figure out who you really are when nobody's looking, right? So clean up those social media accounts. Make sure they represent you in the way that you want to be represented. I'm not saying that you have to, you know, take away any of your personality, but just be smart and be careful and make sure it represents you and that it shows you in the best possible light, because people will judge you based on your social media accounts and what you put out there publicly. Number four, this is one everyone always forgets, but I find to be very important. Organize your references. Here's what always happens, okay? You have it in the back of your head like, okay, if somebody asked me for references, I know who I'd reach out to. Well, here's the thing. When you start interviewing for jobs and you're in that moment and somebody says to you, I'd like to have two references that I can contact, you need to make sure that those are ready to give almost right away in that moment or within 24 hours. Now, before you get to that point, is the time to make sure you have that person's correct email address, their correct phone number, their correct current title. Make sure they're still comfortable in being a reference. So like if I was going to go out there and start to apply for jobs, I would go contact some of my former bosses and say, hey, I'm out there and I have you as a reference. I want to make sure you're still comfortable being a reference and make sure I still have the right contact information for you. Not only is this a good thing, this is a good thing in two levels. For one, you immediately are saying, I want to make sure that you're ready to respond if an employer says, I need references, right? You've got updated information. But at the same time, you're also alerting those primary people in your network that know you and are willing to vouch for you that you're on the job market. So it's a good way to kind of hit two birds with one stone. You've alerted them that you're out there looking. They might know something. They might have heard something. They might have something at their company. And they already know you well enough to recommend you. So maybe there's something that happens right there. But at the same time, if nothing else, you're making sure you have the right contact information for them so that you can act quickly should you get an interview and a request for references. Number five, now is the ideal time to research the ideal companies you want to work for. It's not just about roles, although we are going to get into that pretty soon. It's also about who are those companies that really fit who you want to be. Now, what I tell people all the time is that there's a huge world out there outside of teams, both professionally and minor league and collegiate, and the big brands, you know, Nike, Under Armour, and those. There's a lot of companies in sports, in the sports industry. There are small firms, there are product companies, there's just tons of different things, tons of different organizations. Now's the time to start researching those companies and understanding who fits you. Like if you're really into environmental causes and sports, well, there's green sports initiatives that really start looking into those people that build, you know, green stadiums and facilities. And if you're really into operations, well, maybe there's another company that supports some of these major and minor league teams. There's definitely ways you should start researching companies now and keeping them on your radar to see what they're looking for in their culture. How do you want to respond when they have a job opening? Who are those people you want to look for? Now, number six, it kind of piggybacks off of that. Now is also the time to be researching your ideal roles and figuring out where your gaps are. And this is something we talk about a lot, but I want to make sure I reemphasize here. Again, if you're a recent graduate or if you're just looking on the job search, you're about to get back into things. I was just literally asked earlier today by a student. I said, hey, I just got my master's and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do next. Should I get my PhD or should I go into this, you know, look into jobs in sports marketing? And I tried to explain to them, your PhD is only if you want to go into becoming a professor or do research on the industry. Other than that, it's really not going to move the needle for you in the sports industry. You are much better off going and researching roles that are interesting to you in sports marketing, finding out what those jobs demand. I guarantee none of them are going to say a PhD. Finding out what those jobs want, and then making sure you have those skills. I literally just had this conversation earlier today with a student who was asking me this question. And what I cannot emphasize enough is if you do the research, if you go look at 10 jobs in sports marketing, because that's what you want to do, and you start looking at all the skills they're requesting, and you see that 8 out of the 10 jobs say, we really want somebody in our entry-level jobs that has experience with Photoshop so they can help us manipulate advertising or branding or presentations or whatever it may be, in addition to other sports marketing skills. Well, now you go take a $100 course in Photoshop. And that's a lot better than paying 30 grand for your master's or 60 grand for your PhD or whatever it may be. I'm not against master's programs and I'm not against PhD programs, but only if they fit where you want to go and what you need. If you identify there are certain skills you can get at a different price point, why not take them, right? Now, again, I want to stress this. Master's programs are great if it fits what the market demands out of you. So now's your time to figure that out. Are there gaps you need to fill in your experience and in your resume to make yourself the most attracted for the jobs that you are interested in? Got it? All right, number seven. If there's any questions on that, I'm going to keep hitting this over and over and over again, that last one on your ideal roles and where your gaps are, your heat check. But let's move on to number seven. Now's a time to kind of practice your elevator pitch. I'm not big on the elevator pitch. It's not something that I have masters. It's not something that I say all the time, but there are going to come opportunities where you're in front of somebody and you want to be articulate about what you want out of your career. You're going to find yourself in a position where you're, you know, at an event or you're at a sports a game or you're just bump into somebody or your mom's friends with somebody and you have an opportunity with them. You need to be good at saying a quick 30-second kind of pitch for who you are and what you want. And this is a good thing to practice because you want to not sound scripted, but you do want to be prepared should that moment come up. Again, you don't want to sound rehearsed and like you're reading it off of a script. You want to practice it enough that it sounds natural and that it comes off brilliantly, right? Just to let them know who you are, why you are, and what your purpose is and what you want to do in life. Those kind of those moments of being articulate and professional and being able to explain yourself quickly and authoritatively really can stand out to somebody. So practice that. It's a good thing to do. Number eight, get active networking either through email or social media or events, maybe hit a conference. All right. So if you're trying to ramp up your job search this month or any other month, the more active you can be out there trying to network, trying to build connections through social media, trying to build those connections through LinkedIn, as I talked about earlier, or attending an event and getting in front of people, the better, right? Now is the time to kind of say, listen, I'm going to do these 7, 8, 9, 10 things that Brian's talking about, but I'm going to add in an event this month because I really want to be in front of people. I want to be as visible as possible. I want to collect some, you know, some networking opportunities. I want to be out there on social media commenting. I want to be connected to people that have been on the Work and Sports podcast. I want to have a conversation with them on Twitter or on Instagram. I want to be visible. That's what we're talking about. Being visible, raising your the last 2 months or whatever you've done, wherever you've been, you haven't been visible out there because you've been doing other things. Now's your chance to be visible. So be smart in commenting on their Twitter posts or be smart in commenting on what they share on Instagram and try to build that from there. But also maybe hit a conference, maybe get out there and be face to face with some people and try to get some notoriety that way and some visibility. Number nine. I get so annoyed when people suggest that you blast out as a post on LinkedIn or Twitter or anywhere that you are, hey, everybody, I'm out there in the job search looking for action. If you know anybody looking for a skilled product manager, I'm ready for you. I'm your guy, okay, or gal. I don't like that, okay? It's impersonal. It is desperate. It is not impactful to just blast out to everyone what you need. When I see those on LinkedIn, it does not inspire me to act, right? Make a targeted plan of outreach. Select 5 or 10 people from your network that actually may be able to move the needle for you or may have the right connection for you or may work at a company that you want to work at and reach out to them directly. And say, look, after the last 5 years of my last company or after graduating from college, this is where I'd like to head next. And I'm looking for your advice. If there's anything I should, if there are any events I should go to, if there's any people I should talk to, if there's any new skill I should get, I'd love to know that from you. So in doing that, what you've done is you've made a personal plea to somebody, which is way more impactful. You haven't come right out and say, hey, do you have a job for me? You've said, I respect your opinion. And I'd like to know what you think I should do in this process to do it the best I can, right? Now, what that does is you've told them you're looking. So if they have something, they're going to mention it if they like you enough, okay? You've also shown them enough personal respect to make it a private note, a private conversation, and that you've reached out to them personally. And you've asked them for help and guidance, not begging them for something else. So they're going to be more likely to say, hey, if you know what, if you want to work in sports marketing, I suggest you connect with this person. Matter of fact, you know what, I'll connect you with them. Or something like that can come out of that, a more personal approach. Don't blast. Don't just send out to everybody in some inauthentic form. This goes back to our podcast a couple of weeks ago about authentic communication. Say that in your head every time you're tweeting or you're connecting with somebody or you're trying to reach out on LinkedIn or whatever it may be. Make sure it is authentic. Make it as personal as you can. Make it from you and who you are and represent you the way you want to be represented. Make that targeted outreach to those people that are most important in your network, the 10 or 15 people, maybe that's 5 or 10 people that you think can actually make a difference, rather than just somebody who fits on, rather than just blasting out to everyone out there. Final thing, number 10, interview prep. Okay, once you start applying for jobs and you start having your applications out there, these moments could happen at any time. Somebody could call you tomorrow and say, hey, I'd like to have a phone interview. Are you ready in the next 24 hours? Or they might say, hey, I'd like you to jump on a video call with me. Are you available tomorrow? it could happen at any time. So now is a time in this month to prepare, right? Research, and I have tons of assets on this, research how to perform your best in a phone interview, research how to perform your best in a video interview or in a group interview, or how to respond to certain questions that they might ask you. I have tons of podcasts on it. I have tons of assets regarding it. Now's the time to get yourself prepped for that moment because it's going to come. So those are 10 things you should be doing this month. I will tell you, we have created an online curriculum which is available to all of you to buy on an individual basis. We're out there talking to a lot of different colleges now that are going to put it in their curriculum, which I'm really excited about. But at the same time, we're making it available to individuals like you who are listening. And so many of these things are talked about in great detail. We're sharing all those strategies and tactics that go into getting hired. And that goes from networking strategies and resume, cover letter, branding, job interview prep, gaining the right experience, informational interviews, all kinds of stuff. We have videos, downloadable worksheets, checklists, and I'm always available to you once you subscribe to it too. If you're interested, check out workinsports.com/gameplan. And I'm telling you, it is well worth your time. You want to get hired, and we're sharing with you the tips that will make you the best possible person out there. We want you to be a top candidate, not just a number in a stack. So that's it for today on this podcast. Thanks for listening. I have some really cool interviews coming up on the show soon from members of the NBA, UFC, and MLS. So subscribe and stay tuned for some of those expert interviews around the corner. And I have a request for all of you as well. If you have guests you think would be great on the show, let me know via LinkedIn. Okay, so example, Dasmin Evans did that. My friend Dasmin, okay? She recommended that I looked into Nicole Lynn, and she shared with me a video of her speaking. And immediately I was like, oh my gosh, she's great. I need to have her on the show. And Dasmin didn't know her. She just said, Brian, this is the kind of person you want to have on your show and you need to have on your show. And it's been one of the best interviews to date, I think. Gregory Goodman, another fan of the show, connected me with SEC Network reporter Lauren Sisler. Another great interview that we had on the show. So if you have someone you would like me to book or you think would be a great guest, whether you know them or not, doesn't matter. Drop me a line on LinkedIn and I will look into it. I will try my best to make it happen because I want this to be a show that benefits all of you listening. Thank you for listening, everybody. Ooh, let me try that again. Thank you for listening, everybody. Time to get back to work.